Blog Talk Radio. Breaking news.
Ushering in a new era. This is the War of the Words.
All right, what's up, everybody? War of the Words, number 109, man. Glad to be in here. I sent like a last-minute message to Kobe. I was going to see if he'd pick it up, but I don't know if he got it in time. What's up, Kobe? How you doing today?
I'm here, literally, bro. I put my phone on mute so you could, like, start it, and then you, like, start the show. And I'm like, what's up, guys? Episode 10. Fuck, my thing's still muted. And I hit unmute, and then you came on.
I was like, man, I was cool with it was like a ref. I was like, how long do I let it go before I call it?
Dude, if you would have let it go 3 more seconds, I'd have had it.
Yeah, I hear that all the time on Fight Night. Oh, man. Episode number 109, man. We got Kobe Wall back in the building, man. We're going to have F3, Bad Apple. We got a three-piece for you today. Joseph Freer, we got Shanny, and we got Lionheart about Stanley. All on here. We're going to do a back-to-back along with some other great stuff, man. I'm still recovering from Conflict 28. I know you are probably somewhat literally, man. How are you doing, man?
To be honest with you, man, I'm actually still recovering myself. I've been to the doctor a few times. The leg kicks actually to my thigh weren't all that bad. That really doesn't even hurt at all anymore. What really hurts is I checked about 3 of his kicks that landed shin on shin, and that's kind of still lingering around. And then I don't know if you remember, there was one time when I threw a switch kick, And I kind of looked down at my leg, and then I looked up at Bart, and I looked back down at my leg. Inevitably, what happened is I threw a switch kick, and it landed right on the tip of his elbow, right where I had already previously checked some kicks. So it just made it 10 times worse, and that bone is real sore. They think there may be a hairline fracture, but we did x-rays today, and we don't see anything clear that it's a fracture, but... Definitely still hurts, the bone sore, but I feel good, man. Glad I got the W on a wild night, but you know how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, no, absolutely, no doubt. I think that fight and many of these others, some of which we're going to talk about here in a second, I think really defined Conflict 28. The sort of, that card just had a sort of like get after it feeling like every single fight. Just was really go for broke. You know, you and I, we commentated, 12, 13, 14 cards now together, and sometimes you have those nights where you have a lot of decisions, and this was not one of those, man. I mean, it wasn't, and I can't even say it was just like, oh, there was just a lot of finishes either. It's not that simple. Like, there was a feeling in the air, and it was prevalent all night long.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you'll remember, the two most dominant shows that we have that are really like, whoa, that shit was epic, is Hardyville and Columbia. Those are the two shows when shit hits the fan. It's a really close, tight venue, and the guys and girls that are there, they come to fucking scrap, and it showed again this time.
Oh, man. And speaking of the scrap, we're going to go ahead and jump right in with guest number one. She made her WMMA debut, 115, which I think is awesome because it's a really exciting division right now. Roya Darvishian just taking the title. LI has really been in the house, and we've got so many other people, and she made her debut, which I think got a lot of people excited, and I know I enjoyed the fight quite well. It's kind of interesting. It's like one of the first times that you weren't commentating with me. But I can tell you, man, from right there, cage side, usual spot, it was pretty awesome. So we're going to go ahead and bring Shanny Creer on the show. What's going on, man? How are you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
We are doing good, man. What a what an epic battle that you had at Conflict 28. So I guess before we get jumping into that, and so how have you been since then? How's the reaction been from everybody?
It's been pretty good. It's been pretty exciting. It's kind of overwhelming a little bit. Like, I'm not used to, like, everybody congratulating me and, you know, the attention right now. But it's been everybody's been really, really supportive, and it's been an awesome feeling. And I'm kind of addicted now. Now I told Joe, I said, you know, I think I'm ready to fight again, even though I just got done fighting. But very addicting.
That's awesome, man. You know what? That seems like a, you know, Joseph in particular, I got to say, you know, and it's just the team. I don't know what it is about you guys, but and him too, he just, that ability to reach out and give people that feeling and that effect. And it seems like the force is strong over at BA, man. Do you, now that you're past fight number one, how do you feel looking at what you absorbed through those guys, testing it out yourself, and seeing the results? How's that been in reflection?
I love us going out there fighting as a team, and just, you know, just trying to, you know, to go out there and just show everybody, you know, how hard we train and, you know, what we do every day. But I just, you know, just trying to stay focused, and I think just everybody going out there training together and then going out there fighting together is really motivating. And that's one thing that I enjoy.
Now, it's got to be, you know, that energy has to be really high, not to mention everyone kind of gets to be in fight camp at the same time and on the same page, and really, you know, you're a team all the time, but then you get to really have that actual team feeling of going to an event together and wanting to perform well together, and that had to have been a great boost for you, especially for a debut, man, to have that level of support. You know, you're not just out there having a fight somewhere by yourself, you know. That's got to have been a great experience, especially from the jump.
Yeah, I'd say that was one thing that was just, you know, being able to go out there as a team, that really helped me, and being able to just feed off of everybody's energy and us struggling with the weight cut and everything at the same time, and just everybody's energy just kind of, you know, just helped me and helped motivate me, and especially since we had such a good night. You know, when it came time for me to fight, I was the last one out of our group, you know, and it was just motivating. So I was like, you know, I got to go out here and just kind of do my thing.
How do your thing, indeed, is what went down, man. I think what we saw, or at least from what I saw from where I was sitting, was three rounds of you utilizing some great range. I think you had a great sense of the distance and the space between you guys. I thought the 1-2 that was so awesome, and I think that, you know, you seem to make adjustments really well. You know, the first round I thought was pretty good. You came out. In the second round, she kind of found a spot with this overhand right. She, I don't want to say, I haven't seen the tape since, so I can't say how well it was landing, but I knew it was having an effect as opposed to the other stuff. And then in round three, it didn't happen again at all. So we saw, we got to see a lot from you out of your debut, and I guess, the first big question on this topic is, you know, walk us through the fight in your eyes, and how you feel about that performance.
I feel like the first round was okay. I actually felt like the second round, even though that she did hit me, I felt like it was my best round. The third round, I felt like I did get a little tired, but I still wanted to keep that range. Once the first round ended, you know, my coaches definitely told me, like, look, you know, you got to keep your range. You're letting it get way too close, you know. And for my next fight, I just want to always make sure that I keep my distance, because I feel like, you know, I am a tall girl to be in this division. And I feel like if when I'm fighting a shorter individual, they shouldn't be able to touch me. And that's my goal next time. But she was doing all the right things as a short fighter. She was throwing the overhands and the kicks to get inside. which, you know, sure people are supposed to do. So I give her definitely props for that. But I just feel like, you know, next time, definitely going to try to keep my range more. Going to try to do, you know, just different things as far as, you know, my goal is to maybe get some more takedowns and different things like that and show a little bit more of my ability of what we train.
Absolutely. You know, one thing that I thought was really interesting was is that, you know, I interviewed of both you and her before the fight, and, you know, I go to gather up pictures from both you guys, and a lot of them had to do with mat work, with BJ, you know, maybe working in the gi, tournament, stuff like this. And then when the fight happened, neither party did really any of that. Which I thought was awesome. I mean, it made for an awesome fight, no doubt. I'm not knocking it at all. What I wanted to ask, I guess, was there some strategy to that in you, or did you just want to test out something maybe that you haven't had a chance to? What's the story, you know, to you there?
Our strategy really was to just, you know, keep the distance, stay long. We still trained everything from top to bottom. But it's kind of really hard. Like, mainly our plan is kind of not to have a plan. You know, you just kind of go in there, you train everything from ground to stand up, and then once you get into that cage, you just see where it takes you. So I saw that, you know, it was mainly standing, and if I could keep my distance from her, I know that I could win the fight that way as long as I stayed aggressive and kept my distance.
Absolutely. Well said. No doubt. It's also an interesting situation. Kobe, are you still there, man?
Absolutely.
Heck yeah. It's an interesting situation in that, you know, usually you were sitting right next to me for all these fights, but you were actually fighting on this card in one hell of a match. But I still want to give you the chance all the same, man, if any questions you want to slide in here.
You know, I really want her to touch on the point, you know, not to knock any other gyms that were represented, but if you'll remember, there were two gyms that had more than one or two fighters on it that went undefeated that night, I'm pretty sure. I do believe it's correct, and that is the Bad Apple Gym and Champions Training Center. So I just want her to touch a little bit on, you know, what it feels like to go out and, you know, you're part of a team, you know, even though you're fighting in the cage alone. You know, you got your other brothers and sisters fighting with you that night, you know, whoever it is that's fighting. You know, what does it feel like to know I added that extra notch, you know, on the belt for my team. You know, I went out and got the W, I did my part, and then going out and supporting your teammates. You know, just give me that feeling because, you know, I've been the first fight of the night, I've been the last fight of the night many a times, I've been in the middle, and I fought bunch of times when, you know, other guys are fighting, and it's just like there's a different feeling when you got your other teammates there and they're winning and you've got to win. You know, it's just a different feeling. Just tell us about that a little bit.
Excuse me. I would say it's a great feeling. Like, because all the guys went before me and I was the last fighter, I was kind of nervous in the beginning because a part of me was like, man, I just want to be the first one out of all of us, get it done, get it over with. But then, you know, being the last fighter, I was like, you know, everybody did so well. I was like, you know, there's no way that I can do bad. There's no way that my training can fail me because all my partners did good. All the training was, you know, fantastic. I mean, it showed, you know, that night. So, you know, that kind of helped my nerves actually to kind of go down. But it was just an amazing feeling to be a part of it that night. And I loved it. You know, I just enjoyed it. I love going out there as a team. I love showing everybody what we can do and, you know, and what we're all about. And just having those strong people behind me and supporting me. And, you know, I look up to all the guys that are at the gym, you know, and I hope to, you know, be as good as them as far as fighting is concerned. So I'm just looking forward to growing as a fighter and continue building our team.
Yes. You know, I think that, it, you know, switching it out, I think, I can't remember, 3-0, something like that, maybe 4-0. I can't remember the numbers. I know someone who will and who probably has an opinion, and we're going to go ahead and bring him on as well. Mr. Joseph Creer, what's up, Joseph?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. Why do you sound like a top secret ninja?
No, I'm sitting outside because my kid's she's crying. So I'm sitting in the backyard.
Oh, I got you. I feel like we should all be quiet now.
Like, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. I figured there would be few individuals who could maybe give an opinion on this side of talking about this fight. What was your reflections in the before and after? What would be the gravamat, or what's the culmination here for you in all your connections to this fight? How do you feel, man? I'd really love to hear, because I think it's a unique perspective.
You're talking about with Shani, right? Well, it's crazy.
Yes.
It's a lot of emotions, especially her being my spouse. There's a crap load of emotions. As a matter of fact, when we were offered the fight, I was always on the fence about letting her fight because she's, you know, the mother of my children, my rib and everything. I was like, I don't know. You know, I've been putting this off for a while. Shantae's been training for about 4 years, and she started out as a jiu-jitsu girl. And she really started getting hot in jiu-jitsu, and then I got her pregnant. And I would say unfortunately, but no, it turned out okay because my kid's cool. But so as soon as she started getting hot in jiu-jitsu and she started competing and winning, as a matter of fact, she went to a grappler's quest, and this had to be almost 2 years ago. I mean, she lost that bad boy. It was a horrible weight cut. She's like, I can't get this weight off of me. She just felt drained while she was rolling and everything. And, like, she lost, but, you know, she didn't get tapped out. She didn't lose on points. She lost by an advantage. So if you've ever done any jiu-jitsu competitions, you know how horrible that feels. But come to find out, she was 4 months pregnant when she went to the grappler's quest. And so she got pregnant. She had to take 2 years off.
Beast
because
mode.
She cared more about, which is important, she cared more about my kid than continuing her martial arts training. So finally our kid's almost two. She stopped breastfeeding, and she said, man, I'm getting back on the mat, and I want to start training, I want to start boxing, I want to start doing Muay Thai. And she told me years ago, she said, I want to do an MMA fight. I used to laugh. But when we finally got offered this fight, I was like, Jesus, this is really going to happen. She was just sitting in bed. She was just laying in bed when I got offered the fight. I said, hey, you want to fight? And she said, hell yeah, I want to fight. And I mean, I was always going to put it off. Personally, I was going to put it off. She's my wife, you know. But she said she wanted to do it. I said, okay. And I tried to explain to her after all this time that you truly don't understand the sacrifices that have to be made in order to perform. And I think she's got it now. But when it comes to the fight, actual seconds out to the fight, I thought I'd actually be more nervous by her being my spouse because, you know, every time Malcolm or Thorne or Mike or Prince or any of the guys in our gym compete in jiu-jitsu or kickboxing or boxing or Muay Thai or MMA, anything, I get nervous. I generally get nervous because I care about all of the guys in our gym. But I thought I'd be more nervous because it's my spouse. And as she stated while she was on the phone with you guys, I really believe in our training. I believe in our training. And as she stated, because everybody did so well, I knew she'd do well too because drills pay the bills. And she said, I don't know why she didn't tell you guys on the phone, but she said, after I saw Malcolm knock that kid out, she's like, there's no way in hell I'm going to lose. And she went out there and did it. So the nerves went away. And I saw how she performed in the first round. I mean, if you guys were paying attention to me, I don't know, Eric, if you were paying attention, but at the corner, I wasn't necessarily yelling. I was like, look, man, you got to do this. You got to do this. We're trying to make corrections or make adjustments so we can beat this kid. And all props to Tanya because she came out hard and she has the uncanny ability to stay resilient under the adverse conditions of my wife's fist. But so it was a tough fight, and it was exciting, and I think they both made a name for themselves, and you'll see both of them more often. So now I'm calm. My wife still has a lot of work to do. She's humble, and like I said, she'll just disappear, and she'll continue to work. And I can't wait to find her another fight. I'll still be nervous, but my nerves will go away because I believe in our training. My name is Joseph.
That's
Greer,
beautiful. Well, Jay Greer. Man, it's well said, man. I couldn't say it better myself and not pat myself on the back, but I think that's at least a little bit of a compliment.
Yeah.
Well said, man. beautifully said. Shane, I mean, anything that you would like to anything you would like to add to that, or anybody you'd like to thank, or anything you'd like to say, ma'am, before we jump over to Mr. Stanley?
I just want to thank everybody that helped me train and yelled at me and everything. Got me focused. Of course, I want to thank my husband. And, of course, Donnie, our boxing coach. Just everybody in the gym that helped me train. Everybody, you know, fighting, just everything. My team, my gym, everybody, just for supporting and being there, beating me up every day.
That, you know, that's what it's all about. And I know that there were a ton of people who were, calling this the fight of the night, and who were asking me what your name was and asking me about Tanya. And it really, I mean, you know, for a debut, everybody's, you know, as fighters, you want to go always improve and this and that. But I know as fans, we got every bit of our money's worth and our experience. So, you know, thank you for what you put in the cage, and we definitely look forward to hearing the next fight announcement.
Oh, thank you, guys, and just I appreciate you guys letting me fight on you guys' card.
Always, man. I look forward to the next time, you know, conflict. We support it huge. You have a great night, and thank you so much for coming on War of the Words.
All right, you too.
All right. Joseph, man, I can understand you got kind of this like, kind of a Papa Bear. You look kind of like Kobe, man. Kobe's always like, when we're doing commentary every time, you know, he's always got at least one or two of his teammates or something going on, and you got to kind of take that role there, you know. And I can totally see that in both of you, really.
Yeah, I never chose to be the leader. I always lean on Donnie. Donnie's my boxing coach. The dude's had over 300 boxing matches. He's on the U.S. team. He went to Cuba, got his ass kicked, stuff like that. But I never chose to be the leader. It's just Donnie. He's older. Honestly, the only reason this happened is because I always wanted Columbus to be like a hub for mixed martial arts. Like, I saw your comment thread the other day, Best Gyms in Georgia. I kept my mouth shut because I proved it to you. I can show you better than I can tell you. And I know we're nothing right now. We're nothing. We just started. We'll get there. And I never chose to be the leader, but somebody's got to do it. Just like in the military, I never wanted to be a leader, but they forced it onto me. And I'm gonna hand the baton off to Malcolm one day, you know, because he's making a name for himself right now. And I said, wow, ain't this a bitch? I can put in all this work for all these years, and Malcolm come along and fight three little measly ass fights, and all of a sudden he's popular. Last time I checked, I was 185 pounds. No, I'm just fucking around.
Yeah, but you know what though? You know, you don that mantle well, despite all that, and I think it says a lot. And you know, whether it be through the training or the fighting or the words or the actions, I think it's the kind of thing that the scene thrives on and needs, man. So, you know, I think that's awesome. We are going to jump over, in fact, and we'll get back to you. You can hang with us, Joseph. We're going to talk to Malcolm for a little bit, and then we'll bring you back out if that's cool, man.
All right, brother.
All right, man. Kobe.
Yes, sir.
Now, you and I have been talking about this guy for a little while. Joseph's exactly right, you know. We always talk about Jay Crear in the building, but we like to talk about Malcolm Stanley, and there's a reason for that. I mean, the dude is enlightening in a brutal kind of way, man. You've been cage side for much of this amateur rise, we'll say. You know, talk a little bit about it, then we'll bring him on.
You know, first off, I want to touch on something Joseph said. He
sure.
There's two things he said. He said drills pay the bills, and that's definitely a fact. And the second thing he said earlier, he said that he wasn't going to comment on the best gym in Georgia. He didn't want to talk about it. He wanted to show. And in my opinion, I think his gym did just that this past weekend. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure those guys had four guys on the card, correct?
Say what?
I didn't
hear last.
Didn't they have? Didn't they have four guys on the card?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was 4-0.
And they, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying is their gym showed they're one of the best because they went 4-0, four wins with four fighters. And I know he said we just started and all that, but I think Bad Apple is BA, and I mean BA as in Bad Apple's badass. So I applaud
badass.
The guys there. Badass is right. They're a great group of guys, and you know, and to start off with Malcolm, he is an absolute fucking murderer. The last few guys he's fought, he's absolutely murdered them, and I do mean murdered. He's a good kid. I've talked to him a little bit, but on fight night, he's got his own little swagger. He doesn't talk a whole lot. He's focused. He's in the zone, and he's there for killing. And his last three fights, he's done just that. He's absolutely murked every guy that's come out in front of him. And, you know, we talked about tonight him and Robbie Collum would be a killer matchup. And I'm not trying to say that's going to happen. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but, dude, I would pay. And I'm talking about I would pay good money to see this dude motherfucker scrap.
I would, too, man. I would pay. I would. Benjamin Franklin would be a part of this. That's awesome. I couldn't agree more. He is one of like I said, you said it better than I can, man. So we're gonna go ahead and bring him on, man. The Devastator, the man, the Lionheart, Malcolm Stanley. What's good, my friend?
What's happening?
There he is. Look at that. See, it's already the best show ever. Two words. I like. Man, how you doing, man? How you feeling? How you recovering from Conflict 28?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Already back in the gym, but, you know, I feel good. Feel nice and revived.
Nice and revived. I like that, man. You know, Conflict 28 was an interesting card. It was a your team went out there and did big work, and it seemed like a lot of people wanted to see you fight other people. That has to be pretty awesome to be in a position where people are like, man, I bet Malcolm Stanley versus so-and-so would be badass. Man, I bet Malcolm Stanley versus so-and-so would be badass. I mean, how's that experience been like?
It's kind of funny because I kind of want to fight a lot of other people too. So, you know, when they say, you know, pretty much proves that I'm going out there and showing them that I got what it takes to be put cage with these type of fighters. And I'm just buying my time right now. I'm staying low key or whatever. But my time will come when I step in the cage with those names that people are putting me in there with.
I like that. It's like a guy who puts out a mixtape and then some people hear about it and it's real, real fresh. But no, everybody's on some other stuff, and then the mixtape drops into a full album, and then everybody get on it.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that's what's happening. I mean, you got to feel me on this, guys. In this fight in particular, man, you know, I, one of the things I say about you all the time, I think I said it on the microphone, was that if you didn't see the last couple of seconds of a Malcolm Stanley fight, you would think that he just knocked the guy clean out and won by KO. And this was actually the first time that you got the knockout, man. How did that feel to how was that feeling, man?
Yeah, well, you know, it felt good because, you know, I was kind of at the point where I was like, man, can I knock anybody out? Because, you know, with the training that we go through, you know, I'm not knocking out Joe. I'm not knocking out Thorne. I'm not knocking out Mike, you know, any of those guys. So it's like, well, damn, man, I need to see if I can really knock somebody out. So putting that hammer down on him, you know, it made me feel real good because now I know that I got the right type of power. And I mean, me cutting down to 155, you know, I think I lose a little bit of muscle, you know, so, you know, some fatigue sets in. So I was like, you know, maybe, you know, wonder if I really still got it when I'm at 155, or, you know, I usually get up to about 165 after I hydrate. But, I mean, yeah, it felt good.
I know, man. Like, I remember the first time, Kobe, I remember the first time you and I saw Malcolm fight, and when it was done, we kind of looked at each other with that, like, movie-like, sort of like, oh, damn. Do you remember that? Where were we, like, was that Macon? Where were we?
I think the first time, that was Hardyville. No. The time we looked at each other, and that was the look we gave, was when he fought in Macon against the, damn, what was that kid's name? The kid, he had black Tudor shorts on, the Hispanic kid.
The beta.
And that was the one, yeah, that was the one we looked at each other like, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was like that too, man. It got turned up so fast in there. Like, that's the thing I like about, you know, you have a guy like Malcolm Stanley, and that catches on so well is he comes out there and does, it gives you exactly what you want to see, and then he can finish it with the hands, which we know now, and even before was just like killing it to the point where he just jump on you and get the submission. And I think those kind of fighters kind of lead people into appreciating submissions and the grappling stuff more. But I can't remember a Malcolm Stanley fight that didn't get going in the first 5-10 seconds. I really can't.
Yeah, I like to get it cracking.
No doubt.
I'm not in there to bullshit.
And I get that feeling. Where I'm sitting, I feel that coming off of you. I'm like, I look at Kobe all the time like, hey, dude, this is about to be freaking amazing. Kobe can tell you, man. He's one of those guys. He's got a good eye, man. He's got a good eye. He knows. He sees it. Kobe, I know you didn't get to really, like, see this one, but have you watched it yet, like the tape yet, going over it? I know you do video stuff.
No.
Have you watched it yet?
I've been editing some of the videos, but I haven't got to this one yet. This is one of the ones that I did want to see. Because I heard that literally he came in and hammered down something serious, and I didn't want to see that, but I hadn't got to yet. It took me a while to edit the main event and the co-main event because they were just kind of scrambled up, and I don't know why. I think it was because they stopped recording a bunch when I was getting kicked in the dingleberries, so that threw me off, and that took like 2 days, but I should have the rest of them, like all of the rest of them done by like maybe Sunday, Monday-ish. And then what we're going to do is, just so everybody knows, if you're listening to this, we're going to drop them on YouTube like we did some of the bigger fights for Macon. We're going to drop these on YouTube, and so they'll be out probably Sunday, Monday. They'll finish dropping on YouTube. So get ready to check them out, and they'll be up soon.
Cool. Good deal.
What's up, man? Malcolm, you got a lot of momentum on your side right now. We'll bring Joseph out in just a second to talk about that. You got a lot of momentum on your side. Are you looking to stay active, man? Or are you, what's your plans for the near future? You gonna jump right back in there? You gonna train some more? What's the plan?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, I got standards to meet, but yeah, I definitely plan on getting in there as soon as possible. You know. I mean, Joe always has, you know, the last say, but he knows I like to fight. He knows I'm down to fight anytime, anywhere. So, you know, we're on the same page when it comes to that. But yeah, I'm ready to get right back in there.
That's it, man. Hungry. I like that. I could tell. You know, something funny. I could tell. Whenever we were in there talking with Robbie and I think maybe Johnny and Mark, man, I could see it. You was hungry to be in there and be a part of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I know them guys, you know, are the talk of the 45, you know, and I'm definitely ready to get up in that. You know, I'm ready to fight some big-name guys as much, you know, I got standards to meet, you know. I got, you know, I'm fighting for a reason. I'm not fighting to just be, you know, a great amateur. I'm fighting, you know, I take this as a learning experience. You know, and anybody who is, that has the hype around their name, I want to fight. And I'm all ready for it, you know. Like I said, I take this amateur stuff as a learning experience. You know, put me in there in the cage with any of them guys. You know, they're all great fighters in their own little way. You know, Mark, you know, is probably one of my favorite fighters when it comes to, you know, watching him do what he does. You can tell he has a lot of skill set. And like I said, you know, I want to fight big names. I mean, if you don't fight the best guys in the area or whatever, then what are you fighting for? That's just my opinion. You know, if I don't fight Johnny, if I don't fight Robbie, if I don't fight Mark, then I really can't say that I'm doing too much. You know, I want to fight the big names and I want to fight the tough guys. And, you know, like I said, you know, I just got Isaac Phillips. You know, I took the fight because I knew he would be tough. I didn't take the fight because I knew it would be an easy win or whatever. I knew I was going to go out there and I was going to get my money's worth. And that's where I'm at. I'm here to fight.
I like that. We're about to go from mixtape to full studio album.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like that. All right, man. And just like we did before, we're going to go ahead and bring him back on. We got Joseph Creer hanging with us on the show, man. Jay Creer, what's up, man? Give us your analysis on Malcolm Stanley. I know you got something for me.
I mean, yeah, of course. You know, I've known Malcolm. It's been over a year now. And if you would have met Malcolm the same way I did under the same circumstance, I don't know, maybe you would have never thought that this kid would be becoming the man or the fighter, the mixed martial artist that he is today. I mean, I'll give you a quick quick back brief. I met Malcolm right when myself and Donnie and Jason, that's our black belt, Jason, right when we opened the gym. We were, me, Jason, Donnie, were hungry to get students in there, you know, and I just got out of the active army and I joined reserves, so we were really hungry to get students in there so we could start paying bills. And I was driving to the gym, and I saw this kid, Malcolm, this amazingly gorgeous young gentleman, looks like Michael the Archangel or something like that, you know what I'm saying? And I was driving, Malcolm was running, and he was just jogging. I said, okay, this looks like an athletic kid. Let me just pull over to the side of the room and see if he wants to learn how to fight. And I said, hey, man, you ever thought about fighting? And Malcolm said, he said, yeah, actually, I have.
that was good.
I told him, I said, well, I said, hey, pretty good. Truck, man. We just opened the gym. Hop in my truck, man. I'll take you there. And he's like, all right. And I said, look, dude, I'm totally not going to rape you. I'm telling you, there's a gym right down the street. I'm pointing to it right now. You hop in the truck, and the rest is history, man. he stayed at my gym for 3 hours that night. And he met Donnie, he met Jason, and we was messing around with him, teaching him stuff. And he did it. He just kept coming back. He did it.
And, Malcolm, when it's rape-free, I keep coming back, too.
Yes. And the thing about
he wasn't creepy.
The thing I can say about Malcolm is there's a reason he's so tough. For one, it's the environment that you grow up in that makes you tough. You know, this kid's from St. Louis, not just that. You know, his brothers and his sisters in our gym, or his brothers more often than his sisters, no offense to his sisters. You know, his brothers that fight with him in the gym. For one, Malcolm's the smallest guy in our gym. So he always has a mountain to climb when we spar. He always has a mountain to climb when we do jiu-jitsu. He always has a mountain to climb when he wrestles. So the only time that he gets to fight someone his size is when he's in that cage. So Malcolm fights like a big man in a little, no offense, to in a small person's division. You know, and I've seen Malcolm become such a well-rounded fighter in such a small time, and although he still has much more room to grow, he's becoming so well-rounded. Like, when we got Malcolm his first fight, I promised to God, when they were matching us, they was like, okay, tell us what Malcolm's strengths are. And I said, hey, Malcolm is a striker. He has little to no jiu-jitsu. And he went out there, and he proved me wrong, and he proved everybody else wrong, and he went out there and finished the guy. You know, and since then he's grown, you know, and we have some of the best wrestling, you know, in my personal opinion, we have the best jiu-jitsu in Jason Keaton and Renato Tavares. No offense to anyone, this is just my own personal opinion. And like I said, I've got Donnie. Donnie's our boxing coach, and I put it all together as the MMA guy. And, you know, it's a winning formula because, once again, I've stressed the drilling and the constant training and the body conditioning, the body hardening that we go through. We try to make an elite fighter in a gym in the middle of Columbus, Georgia. I'm not from Columbus, Georgia. I'm from Detroit. You know, everybody here in Columbus is from somewhere else, and that's a nice little melting pot to have as well. I met Malcolm. and we turned him into a fighter. And it was fate. We always joke, me and him, like, Malcolm's like my brother at this point. A year later, Malcolm's like my brother. And we always said it was like fate, because he said 2 weeks or 3 weeks beforehand, he told his wife, man, I want to try to do MMA. And then he runs down the street a mile, he finds an MMA gym. The rest is history. The kid is tough. The kid is fast. The kid is violent. And the kid will one day, with a lot of work, be the next 145-pound conflict Southeastern champion.
And on top of all of that, the dude is photogenic. It's so photogenic it makes me angry.
Oh yeah. There's money to be made. There's money to be made with that man's face. You know? And that's just everybody. Just everybody. Malcolm is one of the leaders. And I'm telling you, like, even Malcolm doesn't know these things. When we first opened our doors, there were so many people, and I'm sure, Kobe, you've probably seen it at your gym. Eric, you've probably seen it at Charleston MMA. So many people that walk in and out of that revolving door saying, I'm an MMA fighter. I want to be an MMA fighter. I'm the next big thing. When Malcolm walked into our doors, there was so many people. Like, there were other people that were walking into the gym, and myself and Donnie and my friend Prince. I don't know, well, Eric, you weren't around to meet Prince, but Prince is a monster, and I'm getting him back in shape, and you guys will be seeing him soon. And mark my words, you'll be seeing him soon, he's a monster. But we were looking at these guys that were coming in, and we were like, okay, this kid's got something, or this kid's been a college Division I wrestler, or this kid's been doing Taekwondo his whole life. And the thing about Malcolm, you see, he's a man of few words. And the thing about a man of few words is that means he's all action. And we all these kids that we were like, oh, this kid's got something, this kid's got something, this kid's got something. Malcolm kept his mouth shut, and he proved the naysayers wrong. Now look at him. I'm proud of him. I'm so proud of him. He's my brother. He's my brother.
Yeah, man. He's definitely a hell of a fighter, and has made it quite a, that same influence and ripple effect that you talk about has obviously had a similar effect in the fan base in the Southeast, and it's very, very, very been exciting to see that grow. Kobe, I know you're right back there, man. What you got for me?
You know, I like everything that was said, and, you know, one thing that Joseph said, and I'm going to get as close as I can with quoting it, he said, in time, with a lot of work, Malcolm Sandler is going to be the next 145 conflict champ. Or will be a future 145 conflict champ. I agree with that, except I don't think it's going to take a lot of work. I think he's close to being. I think he's very close to being right in there. Like I said, you know, I think Robbie Colum and Trader and some of those guys. In my personal opinion, you know, at 145, Malcolm's right in there with him. You know, he doesn't have this big name because, you know, like you said, he's a man of few words and not everybody's talking about him. But if you put him in the mix with his skill set, I think he's right up in there in that title division to get it. You know what I mean? So,
You'd be very interested again? Say one more time, Kobe.
I said I would be very excited to see him fight, you know, any of those guys, because like I said, he's a killer, man. He's, you know, me and Joseph were talking about it the other day, man. There's some of those Bad Apple guys are badass, man.
That is absolutely true.
We all respect Kobe. We all respect Kobe. Like I said, Kobe, we got a joke going on at the school right now, Kobe. I'll give you a heads up. Like myself and Mike, I don't know if you guys remember Mike. He fought in the making card against one of those Russian MMA guys. But we got a joke going on at the school, and we prayed to Kobe Wall before we start sparring. So you're a deity at our gym now. We say all of our prayers to Kobe Wall that our arm bars are clean. Please, Lord, Kobe, make all of our arm bars be true. And we finish our fight. We say it, right, Jim. We're just choking around about it today. So, like I said, our guys respect you. I mean, you won a lot of them over. Like I said, you're the 55-pound champion. I mean, the only kid I got left at 55 pounds is Thorn. Thorn's maybe 3 or 4 weeks out to training with his hand again because, you know, he broke his hand his last fight. And he respects a lot of
like
you.
Like,
we were all rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. And
well, I appreciate
he just started
it, man.
Getting back on the mat again. So We all appreciate you. You know, we love you.
No doubt, man. No
doubt.
We
appreciate the opportunity that we're always given to fight for conflict. And as far as I'm concerned, I said that to Malcolm the other day, as far as I'm concerned, Malcolm Stanley is a conflict MMA fighter. He's a conflict MMA fighter.
Yes, sir.
And you know what I think?
He loves it.
I think that's an awesome thing to say. I think that focus, which is such a big piece of this whole equation, you know, you can see it so prevalent in every aspect of it, man, which just permeates the whole idea behind it and everything you guys bring. It's always so, like you talked about the action, you know, it's always done that way. There's very, very few. It's never like, man, those bad apple dudes are talking all this shit. But people do say, man, those bad apple dudes are winning all those fights. And I think that is, you know, a powerful thing, bro. Yeah, just coming from my side.
Let me say another thing, you know, like how you said that, that Malcolm might not have that much work to do or he's right there right now. But we always train ourselves as a challenger. Like, as a matter of fact, sometimes we get upset if you put us in the red corner, because the way Donnie explained it to us is, you know, red corner is generally the champion and the blue corner is usually the challenger. So even when we train in the sparring days in our gym, the person that has to do the majority of the training always stands in the blue corner, because we will always represent our challenger. If there's something psychological, and that's the thing I like to do with the guys, is the psychology behind these things. I also say this. I mean, you guys are my friends on Facebook, so you see it. You win the fight the night of the weigh-ins. You can win a fight before you step in a cage. And it's all about how you think. It's all about thinking. You know, you can control the universe mentally, if you guys believe that. you need to get Thorne on your radio show, and he'll teach you some crazy stuff.
Trust me, man. That's like a cerebral Sunday in the making, because you know I get down with the get down. That's a great idea, man. You know, Joseph, we always appreciate having you on and get a chance to talk to all these fighters, man. We look forward to seeing you guys again soon, and no doubt, hopefully, some of you guys will make it onto the conflict card in July. We'd love to see that, man.
Yeah.
No doubt, man. We appreciate you coming on the show. You know, have a great night, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you here very, very shortly.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate you, Eric, Kobe. Appreciate you both.
Always, man. Malcolm, my friend, the man of few words, the last man standing, right?
Yeah.
Always. I mean, that's your goal in life, is to be the last fucking man standing, right?
Damn right.
You damn right. And I like that. Man, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up, man. You had a great fight at Conflict 28. All your other fights have been great. And like I said, man, there's a lot of people out here in the fan, which I, you know, is the people I represent, man. I'm like the senator of the fans, man. So I came to speak and let them know that they like what they see, man. So keep dropping them tracks.
Yeah, I got you. I can do that.
No doubt, man. We appreciate you coming on the show. We will, of course, catch up with you soon. I'm sure we will hear some news here pretty shortly about what you got going on next. And until then, man, be easy, my friend.
No, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right, that was Malcolm Stanley, the Lionheart. We also had Joseph Creer, the 185 champ, and Shani, who won her WMMA debut. We got 10 minutes. Kobe, we're going to play a jam here at the end, man. What a show and what an event. I know it was for them as well as it was for you. I'm still in that recovery mode, man. A lot's been said. I think a lot of good points were made today about the mental aspect of fighting. And just from taking everything they said, and also from your experience this past Saturday about what it means to really dig into the mental self. Sum this up for us, brother. Breaking the wall, Tommy.
You know, fighting is something very few people will ever do because they want to. You know, fighting is something that a lot of people do because they have to, not because they want to. You know, whether it's defending themselves or their family or friends, fighting is something you do, or is, I guess you could think, designed to do when you have to. The very few people out there that do it because they want to,
they're either one of two things. They're either crazy or they're skilled. They know what they're doing. And for a lot of
us... crazy or an athlete.
Correct. For a lot of us, it's because you're an athlete. But then there's very few of us, it's because you're both. It takes a lot to get in the cage and actually stare across from a guy and enjoy and invite a beating. And none of the Bad Apple guys got that this weekend, but I did. And I will be the first to say that I took a beating on my leg. I got beat up with kicks, and it doesn't feel good. But mentally, the guys that can push forward and drive on and still do what it takes to win the fight, those are the guys that's going to go far. And I'm not just tooting my own horn here, but, you know, like Josh Collins, I've seen Josh Collins be in a bad spot and just come back and win the fight. This past weekend, you know, those two guys were just hammering down, and Josh did what it took to finish the fight, you know. So there are guys, Mark Trader got knocked down from a crazy spinning back fist and did what it took to come back and win the fight. You know, those are the things that really count and that really matter. And Malcolm Stanley, you know, he's one of those guys. You don't have to see him get in a bad spot to know that if shit hits the fan with him and he gets put in a bad spot, he's going to do what it takes to come back and win the fight. Joseph Carey is the same way. You know, I've never seen him get put in a bind, but those are the kind of people that when they get put in the bind, they don't quit, they don't give up, they don't say, damn, I got to get out of here. They say, damn, I'm about to get out of here, and I'm about to bring the rain when you let me up. If you let me up, I'm going to hurt you. You know what I mean? Those are the kind of guys they are in the Bad Apple crew, and I got a lot of respect for them just as they do for me, and super excited to see them in the future.
Man, you know, my thing about this weekend, and I think I can just kind of add to this a little bit, is, you know, I've said it a few times now. I said it in an interview the other day I was doing recapping the show. You have this phrase you say a lot, and that's, you know, I'll just paraphrasing it because you said it a couple different ways, but basically that if you want to beat me, you're going to have to kill me. And, you know, we have fighters out there who say that kind of stuff all the time. But, you know... And I think that the reason I'm saying this is because I think this about, you know, Malcolm and Joseph. These guys possess this, in my opinion, as well. But you really proved that was that was a fact. I mean, I'm not saying that as a notion of how little or how much you were winning or losing or anything like that. What I'm saying is that what I saw was you prove that that is true, that you do have to completely take it away, that even that you can't just go 95%, you can't go 90, 99, 87, it's got to be 100, or it might as well be 0 in some respects when it comes to things like the win or the belt. And I think that, you know, I have to agree with you there, because it's kind of what you're saying, and you see that in those people around you. And I would agree, man. And I think that's part of what makes it exciting to see those fighters prevail and see them, move on. So I couldn't agree more, man. I absolutely could not agree more, man. I'm going to go ahead and we did the brick in the wall, but I'm going to give you this this last word, Kobe, and then I'm going to fire off a few things, and we're going to ride on into this sweet midnight oil we about to burn.
just touching on what you said, you know, I truly believe that. If you're going to beat me, you're going to have to kill me. And I've had so many people come to me and like, yeah, you know, we heard you say that so many times in interviews, but we always thought it was bullshit. Well, now maybe people don't, you know, maybe people believe the fact that I say, I mean, you're going to have to kill me, because if you don't kill me within, you know, 3 minutes or within 3 rounds, or within 5 rounds, I'm going to find a way to beat you. And to be completely honest with you, Bart made, out of all the guys I fought, Bart made the fewest mistakes. He did. He made the fewest mistakes and did the most things correct. And that's why, you know, that's why he beat me up for almost 5 full rounds. You know, he didn't come in banging with hands like everybody expected. He stayed on the outside and he chopped my legs down to where I couldn't be effective with my legs or my hands. I caught him a few good times with hooks. I cut him once and rocked him a few times maybe. But, you know, I wasn't out. I wasn't out because I wasn't dead. And, I mean, that's just what I believe in. You keep fighting and you keep looking for a win. You keep actively seeking a W until you are dead. And, I mean, that's just what I believe in. Like I said, and I see some of these guys out here, and they fall under the same philosophy. They just haven't proved it like I got an opportunity to prove it this weekend. So it'll be cool to see some of these guys fight in the future. Like I said, Michael Stanley, you know, if he's going to be shooting for that 145 belt. Super excited to see him fight. He is a killer. I know Joseph's got some plans in the future for himself. Super excited for those guys. So just happy to be a part of the ride, man. You know how it is.
You know what, man? A lot of good words said, man. Kind of deep this episode, and which kind of fits right in, man. This show was so Georgia heavy. I'm gonna leave everybody here with this song, "War of the Words," Relentless Radio number 109. We learned that be bad apple and bad ass. On behalf of myself, Kobe Wall, Soar Summer Fight Store, that's ssfightstore.com, and of course, Bad Apple F3 and all those guys. And tonight, the state of GA. This is your jam.
Just a dream.